Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What do you get when you cross a know-it-all newspaper columnist with an awkward, unsophisticated everyman?
Yeah, I'm just not sure about that right now.
Welcome to Couch and the Roo.
Welcome to Couch and the Roo, presented by SkyMint Premium Cannabis, inspiring everybody to love better, look better, feel better, and just survive football season. And our Tuesday night show, brought to you by our friends at Front 43 Neighborhood Pub and Cask & Company Kitchen & Bar. That's just north of Frandor on East Saginaw and Lansing, near the East Lansing-Lansing border. Wednesday nights, if you're ever looking for a date night on a Wednesday night, I'm telling you, Cask & Company and Front 43, $10 apps. $7 martinis, half-off bottle of wines, and then, of course, MSU game day specials. If you don't want to be in the stadium, you want to be somewhere where you got a little protection, a little alcohol to help, some other games to watch, a meal, some company, Front 43 and Casket Company, MSU game day special, some fantastic stuff, and just a great vibe and menu and drink selection. Jason, how you doing, man?
What's up, buddy? By the way, the caw-caw shirts are hot. Sold out.
It's outstanding.
Yeah. Thanks to everyone that paid and everything already. So we're going to hopefully ship those out next Monday morning.
Okay.
So sorry, you won't have them for this week's game, but next week we're calling.
Well, next week's the bye week.
Caw.
Yeah, but we're still going to caw.
Caw during the bye week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Caw.
Either take over in the big house with caws on April or on October 29th.
Why not?
It was interesting. Mel Tucker talked.
Ooh,
it's caw.
Oh, caw. Yeah,
yeah. The whole point.
Caw.
Mel Tucker talked. It was asked by our dear friend Jack Ebling about the stadium being, 40% red at the beginning and mostly red at the end, and sort of what he says to the fans who left. And Mel Tucker played it smart, because there's nothing you cannot chastise the fan base. Nor should you, frankly. And so what he said,
it's
not
a good move.
But he had a good line about how he doesn't expect unconditional love from anybody in his life. He said, well, maybe a few people, but not even his dogs. Like, he comes home after a loss and they're like, basically, what the fuck, dude?
What's up with that defense?
Yeah.
Roof.
So it was it was a good line. And how you got to give people something to cheer for is a good way of. There's no good way around it, and obviously when you lose four straight, people don't want to be a part of that. Did you think he handled it well?
Yeah, well, he handled it how you're supposed to handle it, right? It's a Monday presser, after another loss. How do you explain things? You have to say that. Yeah, going after the fan base could be one of the dumbest things you're going to do. Look at what happened to Matt Rhule. $40 million to go away, but yeah. Yeah, he did the right things. I don't know. Okay, let's see what happens against Wisconsin.
So the other interesting things he said that I thought were interesting. He did. he did basically. I asked him about trying to, because here's the thing: no football team in the history of football has ever been good offensively if their offensive line couldn't do something adequately. Like, if they couldn't run the ball adequately or at least protect adequately, there's just no way in hell you have functional good offense, right? And that's what Michigan State kind of has right now. And so I was trying to poke around and ask that this week. Just so, how do you overcome that? Because you can talk about all this stuff, but if you can't overcome, if you have that, it's really difficult to overcome. If your quarterback doesn't knows he's not going to be protected, if you can't count on a running game. And one of the things he said that was interesting in that is he said, you know, they've gone and looked at all the different, you know, analytics for what works and what doesn't. And when they just call a run play, he said they win more often than you'd think. Their problem is they're not winning at all on the run pass option stuff. And so some of that's called differently for the offensive linemen. They probably got to abandon that stuff. If it's not, I mean, if they can't run at all out of the run pass option stuff, then it's not really
everything.
It's not really a run pass option.
But I think Jay Johnson kind of did that against Ohio State a little bit, where you just want to get the ball into your playmaker's hands like Jaden Reed. And I think against a team with Wisconsin, you can do those things. So I would stick to that format because, like you said, Peyton Thorne's not going to have any time to throw. So it's got to be quick.
Yeah, Wisconsin, it'll be interesting. We are, in a few minutes, going to have Jeff Petrikas from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on, who covers Wisconsin. They've got interesting times going on there. Get a sense of who this Badgers team is they're facing and whether Michigan State has a shot in this game. And a team that's just fired their coach recently. And
was he sad to see Paul Christ go?
Yeah, I'll be curious to see what he thinks about everything going on over there. Because it's different than most teams with an interim coach, and that I think they got rid of Christ when they did because they really want Jim Leonard to succeed. Like most people put an interim coach, you know, somebody on the staff becomes the interim head coach, there's no chance they're ever going to be the head coach.
But don't you do that in the off season though?
But this is going to be different. What do you mean?
I mean, if you want Leonard to be the coach, you don't. So you're Paul Christ, what you're saying is he was on a short leash all season and they finally decided to pull the trigger. I just don't know if I do it during the season. And it's unprecedented for a program like Wisconsin. We've talked about it before. It just blows my mind that these universities are getting rid of coaches, offensive coaches, head coaches. It's pretty wild.
Well, there are a lot of payouts going on. Yeah. So we'll get a sense of what Jeff thinks
money
there.
Money everywhere to do nothing. It's one of my – I'm so jealous when I see that, like the Matt Rhule thing, $40 million to go away.
Yeah.
Ed Orgeron, $17 million.
You'd go away for a lot less.
Oh, my God. Yeah. To get paid. It's my dream to get paid.
To go away.
To go away.
Yeah, I've been trying for a while.
I know. Yeah. I want to get canceled or something. Yeah. Like, make me go away with some money.
I've been trying to get you to go away. I mean, I've been doing things trying to – yeah, anyway. I talked to Peyton Thorne today about the same issue, right? How do you
– his burger?
How do you play? No, we'll get into the Hopcat burger a little later when we have Jeff Hahn for our Hopcat interview of the week. But really how you overcome that as a quarterback. And Peyton Thorne said something interesting today, and look, they're all saying this, and I don't believe it entirely, but he's saying, it's not always the offensive line. Sometimes there is a hole there, and the back is missing it. And he said that rather convincingly. Like, I think Peyton Thorne has not always been impressed with Michigan State's backs this year, because he sounded like, look, there are times that there is a hole, and then there are times there's not. There are times that other things are going wrong, that he's maybe missed something. But I think mostly, if you watch that Ohio State game, they just didn't win. They just didn't win up front. And I watched it back, and then I watched.
But did you expect him to?
No, but I went back the other day and watched the offense again, just the offensive drives.
Wow. Sounds like fun.
Well, yeah, but you want to make sure you know what you're talking about. Because it's easy you write these quick takes when you barely see the game, you know, and you get down and then you write a column and you have your opinions on what you think you saw, but you want to make sure what you think you saw is what you saw.
So what did you take away after watching again?
Yeah, that they don't have the guys. That they're in real trouble in certain ways. And, like, what I mean is, I don't know. It goes back to what I said Sunday night. Like, I think they're lucky they kept Mel Tucker, because otherwise it'd be some new poor sap who everybody hated, and everybody would think Mel Tucker was a god, and he'd be off at LSU, and they'd still be 2-4. And I think that's part of it. When Mel Tucker said on Monday that he told his team that he would never throw any of them or his staff under the bus publicly, which I think is something you're seeing, and I think that's an important note, because I like that. I think that's good leadership.
So does that mean that he won't shit can someone during the season?
No, but I think he's not going to do it until he does it. In other words, it's what I keep saying. In leadership, you support your people until the minute you don't. And the minute you don't is when you're getting rid of them. You know what I mean? Because the second you waffle on it, it's like that. I remember with Bruce Weber, Illinois. Mike Thomas was the, I think it was Mike Thomas was the AD at the time. And he went on and did some radio interview where he basically said, I don't know, we've got to have better. You know, we'll see. And, but the gist of it was, we might be firing this guy. Mm. And the guy was, and the season fell apart, and he was fired at the end of the year. But if I were the school president, Mike Thomas didn't last that much longer, I would have shit-canned the AD that day. I would have blacklisted him. He would not be in management anywhere. Like, you, that is not leadership. If that's your instinct, you can never lead. You can never manage another person in any realm of any profession anywhere ever again, okay? That is not leadership. You support somebody until the second you don't. Otherwise, you're gonna lose
him. So what are we saying here? Because it kind of makes me nervous. Like, I understand you don't want to throw the guy out under the bus publicly. I'm not even talking about players. But I'm talking about Scotty Hazleton. So are we talking about that we're going to have to wait till after the season?
Yeah.
And if you get rid of him, you're saying our defense was ass and he's the reason why.
I would look at it like this. I would, if you want to look at it in terms of if fans are looking for a way to calm their fears, I would look at it like everything they are hoping, if they don't want him back, may be happening. You're just not going to know about it till the second it does. You're just not going to know about it till after the season. He's not going to let on to the fact that he's unhappy with the defensive coordinator.
Okay. I have no problem with that.
And again, we've talked about this before. There's no evidence yet. You got to give the guy his due. And I know there's D'Antonio PSD, that there's some sort of, you know, loyalty gene in him that just is going to keep him to keep guys beyond their expiration, so to speak.
Because Tucker did get rid of who, Graham?
Ron Burton.
Oh.
We mentioned that for 702 number of times I've mentioned that. So anyway. Let me ask you.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to ask you again. Now, let's just say Graham Mertz, everyone's favorite Graham Mertz, goes for maybe, let's say, 390 and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
All right. Going into bye week. Right. I mean, do you hold Hazleton through the bye week? I just don't know what you do. How much worse can it get?
Right. My question is, what would getting rid of somebody on the staff
It would make everyone in the fan base, I feel, maybe a select few who, you know, says he has children and a family, but
feel better.
But this isn't about making you feel better.
People, who cares if the fans feel better right now?
I know you say fuck the fan base.
I didn't say fuck the fan base, but that's not why you do things. You don't
Vegas,
do things
fuck
for the,
Vegas, fuck the fan base, you, Michigan State. It's unbelievable.
You don't do things for the fan base. But
I know. I'm not saying you would solely do that, but it's pretty much cut and dry that this guy's not fulfilling his job duties.
They have not been good.
Yeah.
And he has not had an answer. There's no question about it. And my guess, if I had to bet, I'd bet he's gone at the end of the year. That would be my bet.
Sure.
But
I'm just saying, if you grandmother fucking Mertz comes in and drops 390 and three touchdowns on you,
yeah,
someone's got to go. I just feel in the bye week, someone fire a fucking intern, something. Well, I don't know if you don't want to get rid of Hazleton. Interns have families too, but Jesus, what else do you need to see? This is big time football, millions of dollars being pushed around, and you're going to sit back and go, well, what's it going to do getting rid of a guy? What it's going to do is show the fan bases we're a top tier motherfucking program, and we're not going to sit around and have a guy with a half-assed defense that we saw last year, and we're going to watch it again. It's worse this year.
Except you don't have the people to be top tier, and you're 2-5 on your way to 2-6, and
right,
next year you're going to be 2-5
again. Mentality. You got to have it in your soul to be a top tier program. You can't sit there and waffle because you don't have the guys or the coaching staff you want right now. You got to make moves to show the fan base and everyone, like, we mean fucking business, and we're not going to take this anymore.
The bigger concern this week is losing 4-star offensive lineman Clay Whedon from the Tampa area.
Good.
And that's the first. Now, look, his statement made it sound like this was not football related, but you know what else they're going to say? I mean, nobody's going to say it. I just watched the Minnesota highlights and went, "Holy shit! I don't want to be a part of that." Nobody's going to say that. I have no idea why he decommitted. It may have nothing.
We know
it may have nothing to do with the situation on the field. Nobody else may decommit, but this is the fear, right? The fear is the class that they've begun to assemble begins to fall apart. It's one guy. If they start losing 2, 3, 4, there's a conversation. I also think that the two most interesting things, I'm stuttering here like that Izzo interview, but the two most.
Right now, either you're stuttering or I'm not picking it up because it's whoa.
The two most interesting things here in the recruiting realm for Michigan State are whether they can hold on to this class. And then the other thing that Mel Tucker has said, where he thinks a lot of NIL promises that have been made aren't really going to come to fruition, and there are going to be a lot of guys on the market in November and December. They're like, wait a sec, what?
Yeah, but what do you have to offer then?
Well, that's going to be immediate playing time, opportunity. If you're a guy they trust, because the thing they're going to look for, the thing those kids are going to look for is guys they can trust. So as long as there's no bullshit, hey, we're trying to build something here. We want you to be part of it. You can play early probably. They're going to be looking for somebody they can trust, and you want to be there to be that person for them. And so that'll be a very interesting thing to see if they can add to this class through guys who have been scorned elsewhere.
Because you're right. There are going to be guys
just out there.
There's
good players.
A ton of guys. Yeah, right.
Good players. Good players, too. All right. We are going to take a really quick break here. We come back. Jeff Petrikas from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Couch in the Rue, presented by Skymint Premium Cannabis and Front 43 and Cask & Company.
Firekeepers Online Casino and Sportsbook is the site to play. Get your Vegas on right now from your phone, tablet, or laptop. All the hottest slots and tables, plus sports betting featuring in-game wagering. Download the app at firekeeperscasino.com. Go with the name you know. Firekeepers. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and located in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-270-7117. Wherever you are on your cannabis journey, let SkyMint Premium Cannabis be your guide, your friend, and your place. Whether you're curious about cannabis or a seasoned connoisseur, SkyMint's knowledgeable staff will help you with a vast selection of products to choose from to fit your needs. SkyMint believes access to the best cannabis helps people do good and feel good, so they grow it right here in Michigan, giving you high-quality, locally grown cannabis at highly accessible prices. Visit SkyMint.com for special offers and location information throughout Michigan, and use the promo code COUCHANDRUBE20 for 20% off your first visit. SkyMint Cannabis, you'll love this place. Come enjoy irresistible, award-winning, handcrafted donuts and locally roasted coffee at Groovy Donuts. Surprise your family or coworkers with special holiday designs and flavors, or put the perfect finishing touch on an event with a custom order. Birthdays, weddings, gender reveals, our friends at Groovy Donuts are your answer. Experience the Groovy Donuts difference for yourself on Lake Lansing Road in East Lansing or in Williamston. Get more information or place an order at groovydonuts.com.
Find Couch in the Rue podcasts on Spreaker, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and the Rube's favorite podcast addict.
Couch in the Rue, presented by Skymint Premium Cannabis. It is time now for our interview of the week, presented by Hopcat. Hopcat, the best damn beer bar, world famous Cosmic Fries. I can never pronounce anything wrong with the Hopcat teas. And one of the best things they do well is carefully curated craft beer from local partners. And so every Hopcat location feels like a local brewery. Locations in East Lansing, Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Indianapolis, Detroit, Ann Arbor, you name it. Also the Peyton Thorn Burger, which no matter how he's playing is still a delicious burger. Glad to have Jeff Petrikas from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with us. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great. Thanks for taking a few minutes. I appreciate it. You are covering the most fascinating program maybe in the Big Ten, and I don't know if Wisconsin's often considered that.
No. It was a shock to 99.9% of the people around here inside UW and outside UW that they made an in-season coaching change. I can't remember them ever doing that in any sport whatsoever.
Were you among the 99%?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had talked to athletic director Chris McIntosh before the Illinois game, and he reiterated how they generally handle things. If their coaches have a track record of success, which Paul did, and they go through some difficult times, they have given them every opportunity to push through. Alvarez had some down years with Pat Richter as AD. He pushed through and had success after that. Bielema struggled early in his career after a really good first year. Alvarez let him go through, and they had a really good three-year run before Bielema eventually left. So they've done that, and what changed was the loss at Illinois, to Illinois, how they lost, because they didn't respond well in that game, and that shook the athletic director.
The other interesting component to this is having Jim Leonard on the staff, who's been the defensive coordinator, who's been a hot name, has chosen to stay. You have a really good piece that you can read at the Journal Sentinel's website, or at Jeff's, I'll tweet it out here at the top of Jeff's Twitter page. And also, by the way, if you're an LSJ subscriber, you can read Jeff's work at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the USA Today Sports Plus app. So if you're a subscriber for my work, a week like this, it's great. That's where that app is perfect for you. But Jim Leonard, how much did that dynamic, having he's not your typical interim coach. They want to take a look at him, right?
Yeah, that's a huge factor. I mean, Jim has been here. He joined the staff in 16 as a secondary coach. Paul hired him with no coaching experience. A year later was promoted to defensive coach, and that's been his role since. And he has turned down overtures or offers for some from really big programs. And then last winter, the Green Bay Packers pursued him for their vacant DC, defensive coordinator position. He thought about it. He said, no, I'm happy where I am personally, professionally. There's things I want to accomplish here. And they won't say it publicly, and they can't say it publicly, but it's pretty obvious that he's been turning things down because they hope one day he runs the program. And I think the only questions that any of us had was, what would the transition look like? Would he have to go away like Paul did and be a head coach at a different place and come back? Well, that timeline was accelerated after the loss to Illinois, and now Chris McIntosh, the athletic director, gave him minimum of 7 games to show what he can do. And in my opinion, here's why. The defense wasn't playing well for the last 2 games, Ohio State and Illinois. The team wasn't. If you're the athletic director and you say, man, if this season spins out of control and we don't get the defense in shape, how can I sell this guy as as a capable successor? Now he gives an opportunity to turn it around. Difficult circumstances, but an opportunity to turn it around. And if he does, and Jim's off to a really good start, both on and off the field, it's an easy sell.
Yeah, so what does he have to do the rest of the way? Obviously, that first game, 42-7, how real was that? Like, how much better were they? I know Northwestern's having a horrible year this year, but how much better were they than they've been in that game?
Well, Northwestern is not good. They've got problems on both sides of the ball. But to me, it started with Jim's the press conference Sunday night, after the announcement came that Paul had been fired. And you got to remember, and Jim pointed this out, Paul took a chance on him and said, hey, I know you have no coaching experience, but I want you on my staff, and then made him coordinator. And Jim, Paul has been a mentor to Jim. So the players were upset. And I don't know if I've ever heard of a situation that I've covered where the players were so angry about a coaching change. They were, I can't even use the language that they were, but they were devastated. It was a very emotional situation. So Jim had to navigate that. And what he did was he said, look, guys, I have to succeed Paul. That's the reality. But this is his team. We are going to play for him. You guys play for him. He brought you here. He said, all of us are here because of what Paul did. And the players needed to hear that. So that was one thing he did. And then he got the staff together. And I had no idea how the players would respond as the week went on. But I thought that was a bigger piece of the victory against Northwestern, what he navigated off the field and behind the scenes, than what they did on the field. Because they clearly have more talent than Northwestern. In fact, Tuesday night, I texted a UW official. I said, look, I don't know what Jim's doing behind the scenes. I said, but if he's handling it behind the scenes as well as he's handling it publicly, you guys are going to be okay. And that's exactly what happened. I don't think he has to win any number of games. I wouldn't even put a number on it. If by the end of the year, this team looks like it's playing the type of football that Wisconsin is accustomed to playing, I think that will be fine because that's what they want to see.
Yeah, the question is, like, how did it get to the point where it was where they felt necessary to make that change? And, I mean, here in East Lansing, we're watching a football team that people thought was a lot further along last year. But as you start to dissect it, it's pretty clear. They just don't have the horses up front. You talk about problems on both sides of the ball. They've got it. And it's going to be a couple of years, I think, before they're really competitive again. And in hindsight, you're like, you can see. In hindsight, are there big problems, or did something just slide slightly?
It started in 2020 with the COVID year. Everybody got affected by it, some teams more so than others. I mean, when we talked to guys in the camp of before the 2021 season, they were more free to talk about what happened. And guys were saying, man, you go to practice and we'd have 20, 30 guys out that we didn't know who was going to practice. So Paul gave up play calling duties that year because it was a weird offseason. He said, man, I'm not ready to call plays. So you had Joe Rudolph, the O-line coach, calling plays. They lost Jonathan Taylor. They didn't have Jack Cohn that year. So Mertz had one good game, then he got COVID and was out for a couple weeks. So it was a number of things that team just really battled through and didn't have a good year. Finished on a high note with a bowl victory, a minor bowl, but it was a disastrous year. Paul took over play calling duties in 21, but Graham Mertz, the quarterback play early, was just not even close to being up to their standard. I mean, if you remember, you know, they had turnover after turnover in the season opener against Penn State. They had turnovers, lots of them, against Notre Dame. Mertz got hurt against Michigan, so they got off to a rough start. They eventually relied on the running game, but that only got them so far. And then Paul decided in the offseason, okay, I'm going to step back, time to make some changes. Bring in a new coordinator, brought in Bobby Engram, who's never been a coordinator before, never coached quarterbacks before. They lost their running backs coach to an illness. He passed away. They had to make a replacement there. Joe Rudolph leaves, so you have to switch the offensive line coach. They bring in an inside linebackers coach. He has to step down after the spring because of alleged NCAA violations that he's currently fighting. Hmm. So you bring in Mark D'Onofrio as your inside linebackers coach in June. So they had a lot of turnover. Their offensive line, they've played six games now, five starting units, different units because of injuries. So that's affected some things. And I think there were some early growing pains with Engram and the offensive staff on calling plays and getting on the same page. I just think there were, because they were relying too much on the run early. They weren't having success. And last week they got off to a good start in part because they threw more on first down and more play action. So I think it would have taken a little while anyway, even without, you know, where you throw in the factor of Paul being fired. I mean, just some natural growing pains with the new offensive coordinator.
I mean, if you're Paul, Chris, you're looking at the schedule going, wait a sec, I got the Ohio State, Illinois section of the schedule, and Michigan State and Purdue might be okay these days, but and Maryland's actually pretty good. But the end of the schedule is you can navigate this thing. They have a chance to still have a really good season and be in the hunt for everything. Do you think he got a fair shake here?
Well, first of all, he was blindsided. I mean, when Chris McIntosh met with him, the assistant coaches were all in on Sunday doing their normal routine, tying up the previous week game, you know, the loss to Illinois, and getting ready to prepare for Northwestern. No one saw it coming. I mean, administrators high up didn't know about it until McIntosh broke the news to them. Fair shake, I would say, based on their history, how they handle things here, no. Because it had been, as I said earlier, it had been in like, we're going to give you a chance to push through, to come out on the good side of this. There's some issues right now, but we believe you'll do the job. And they went against their normal routine, how they handle things. So, and one of the players, I'm going to write on Logan Brown from Michigan. He's a reserve offensive lineman here. I talked to him, and he basically said, he should have lost his job. He goes, it was hard. He goes, we started off worse last year, and we got it turned around. And that's one of the factors for the players they couldn't understand. They said, wait a minute. You know, we turned it around last year. What are you firing our coach for? It was a really difficult week. It's one of the more difficult weeks for those players, for any athletes that I've seen here, and I've been up here since 1995.
So if Northwestern is nice timing, Michigan State is also nice timing. This is a team that just really isn't doing anything very well right now, losing up front on both sides of the ball, can't stop anybody in the passing game. And I know Mertz had a nice game against Northwestern. What's your sense of, like, from what you've seen from Wisconsin and what maybe you've seen from MSU, how these two match up? And is, like, right now Wisconsin's a 7-point favorite. I have no idea if that's accurate, if they can take advantage of Michigan State's secondary woes. Right, I would guess they're further along a more seasoned program than MSU at this point.
Yeah, I looked at some tape of a couple of Michigan State games earlier today, and the one thing I noticed was they're struggling to get pressure, at least in the games I looked at, with just four men, with a four-man rush. And Northwestern couldn't get pressure with a four-man rush. Mertz, for the most part, attempted 29 passes, I'd say about 26, 27. He didn't have to do much in the pocket. There were a couple where he escaped some light pressure and got out and made some plays on the edge. But if Michigan State can't get pressure with four man, and they can't, maybe if they send an extra rusher and they can't get to the quarterback, I would imagine Wisconsin will be able to make some plays down the field because Mertz is playing well. He actually got off to a good start this year. He was playing much better ball this year early than he was. He really hit a wall against Ohio State where he had a critical interception early in the game that went from the game went from 7-zip to 14-zip in a heartbeat and started the route for Ohio State. But he's playing better. They've got some good, really nice receivers, and they can run the ball at times. It's not as good as it's been in the past, but I see it as a similar matchup to Northwestern. Not predicting a 42-7, you know, victory. I don't see that happening, but I just see Michigan State maybe having some problems defensively, similar to what Northwestern did last week.
How about the Badgers' defense? Can this be a usual Badgers' defense?
No, it's one of the issues that has really affected them was that, you know, they lost two inside linebackers to the pro, Jack Sanborn, unsigned, undrafted free agent with the Bears, and Chanel to the Chiefs. And the four guys that returned, none of them had played hardly any snaps on defense. And that was really a problem early in the year. They started two new guys last week. They got four guys that they tend to play, but they're not nearly as good at that position as they've been the last two, three, maybe 4 years. Just the experience is not there. And they've had some injuries in the back end. They lost a safety in the spring, a safety in the first game. Their best cornerback has not played it all year. He got a bad hamstring injury in camp. He's expected to play this week, Alexander Smith. And they lost eight starters from last year's defense. So that's been a transition. Because that defense is not nearly at the level that it's been in the past. It's getting better, but it's still not close to what it's been.
So what you're telling people is take the over this week.
I honestly see Michigan State's really banged up. They can't. I saw Mel Tucker's comments about the run plays being efficient. I don't know. They don't get big hits in the running game. And I know their quarterback is banged up.
They don't do much well.
it kind of reminds me of when I looked at Northwestern. I didn't think Northwestern could move the ball in Wisconsin because they didn't have playmakers. Now I think Michigan State has a better quarterback and better skill players, but I just don't know how good their line is.
Yeah, no, the line is. I mean, that's the problem. It's very hard to have a functional offense without an adequate line in any facet. And right now they don't. And so I think they've got decent playmakers. They don't have a lot of confidence at the quarterback position. They don't have the ability to get those guys the ball. They haven't figured out how to do it with the line that they have. From what you've seen, like the West Division this year, I don't know if there's – we always say the West is wide open, but like for real this year, it's wide open. And part of that is because, Illinois has risen up. Iowa wasn't what their offense has been dreadful. Minnesota for a minute looked like the team. Now Purdue's making a run at things. Like, of the teams you've seen out west, and you saw Illinois close up, and Michigan State, we'll see them in a few weeks. Like, who is the best you've seen in the West?
Well, initially I thought Minnesota early in the non-conference season was going to be the best team because they've got a good defensive coordinator. Those guys play hard in defense. And bringing back their offensive coordinator, who really helped Tanner Morgan have a fantastic year in 2019, was a smart move. But then they went to Purdue, they lost to Purdue, and I thought, okay, well, so much for Minnesota being as good as I thought. I'll be honest with you, Illinois is a really solid team. Their defensive coordinator is good. I like what they're doing on offense. That transfer quarterback from Syracuse is good. They have a really nice running back. I know the offensive line coach. He was a grad assistant here and was promoted to the offensive line coach in 2012 by Brett. When he fired his O-line coach, a guy by the name of Bart Millers, the grad assistant at the time, he's a hell of an O-line coach. So they are really a good team. But I will say this. If last week wasn't a mirage and it was the start of something good, I would not be surprised to see them make a run, similar to what they did last year, where they went to Minnesota, final regular season game with a chance to win the West. I haven't looked at some of the other teams' schedules to know if someone has a really easy path or good path. But as good as I think Illinois is, I would not be surprised to see Wisconsin reel off some victories.
Jeff, I appreciate the time and look forward to seeing you in the box this weekend.
All right, we'll see you. You take care.
All right, take care. That is Jeff Petrikis from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Fantastic stuff from him. I would
instead of boo.
I probably urge people to take the Badgers.
I wanted to play that so badly.
Take the Badgers.
Jeff would have had no idea. That was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
That everyone was kind of blindsided about it. The players, especially the players, shocked me the most, Graham, because if you look at 2021, yeah, they lost three out of their first four, and they rallied the next eight. But, I mean, what kind of program do you want to be? And that is the big question. It's like, can Paul Chryst take you to 9, 10, maybe even 11 wins? Yes. But can he take you over that hump to a national championship?
Yeah.
Isn't that the goal for your fan base and the players?
And it's not just that. I think.
Well, I'm just saying, but the players seem like they were okay with the way the season went last year. If I'm the player, I'm like, get a guy in here that can maximize our talent and we can get to the next level and win a national championship.
And they had a weird thing going. Like, Paul Chryst was a Madison guy. I think he grew up there. Like, he's like a hometown. This is like his place, right? So you had this guy who was a coach elsewhere at Pitt, and they brought him in and sort of always looked at as a guy who might be an option for them.
He had success there.
But he got, yes, but he got Wally pipped by another guy they've been intrigued about, in a sense. Like, I think the Jim Leonard thing is, because we keep hearing about Jim Leonard every year. He just talked about the Packers offering him a job, and he turned it down, you know, as the defensive coordinator. Like, so he was a hot commodity, and I think they knew that. And I'm not saying they were looking for a reason. If they'd started differently, they weren't going to fire Paul Chryst. But they were willing that appealed to them. He appealed to them, and they didn't want to lose him. And when there was an opportunity, their AD struck, because I think they think he's a – younger, energetic coach whose best years may be ahead of him, and that's probably not the case with Paul Chryst, even if he had another five good years with Wisconsin.
But if Chryst doesn't lose those, you know, first three out of the four games, right, I think maybe he has a shot to keep his job this year. But they saw that last year and go, maybe we need this guy, Jim Leonard.
What's nasty is they lose to Washington State at home, and that's a bad game. They lose 17-14, whatever. But the only other – and then they get creamed by Ohio State. But who doesn't get creamed by Ohio State? Like, on the road at Ohio State. And so,
okay,
really,
but don't you want a coach that could maybe get you competitive with
Ohio
State?
I know, but you're not going to fire after that game. They give him one game after that. And Illinois, the thing that seems – what would be very interesting is Illinois –
eight seasons, though.
But Illinois is obviously very good this year, but their brand is not good. What I do wonder is if this were a year – so say Illinois wins the West this year. They're that good. And all of a sudden, starting next year, we think of Illinois differently as a program because they were good this year, and then they were to beat you like that, you might be like, Illinois is really good. That's a tough game, and it didn't go well. They need to improve. You know what I mean? Part of it might be that nobody knew Illinois was that good yet, and you lose like that, and so you think of it a certain way. What's done is done. Yeah. It's fascinating because it is clear. I am curious to see if what they did at Northwestern was an emotional response, sort of a pent-up emotional response, took it out on Northwestern. They've got better players. Is there a point where all of it's exhausting? All of it's a little bit of a distraction. Is that Michigan State? Is that Purdue? Like, are they able to focus and run through the rest of the season? I think Northwestern's really bad. I'm not sure Michigan State went flat in Northwestern. Like, I think Northwestern's really, really bad. Northwestern lost to teams that are worse or similar to the teams that Michigan State clocked at the beginning of this year. Southern Illinois is not better than Western Michigan. You know, so like, Northwestern is horrible. That's an important thing to know with that score. But I am still now very curious, whether or not, I don't know. I would urge you to not take Michigan State. I'm not going to tell you to take the Badgers.
I don't know. It seems like the 7 and a hook, and we're going to have Harry here in a second, but we'll talk about it more. But it's that hook, and it just seems like a game Michigan State could possibly win. But
all right, yeah, we'll. That was our Hopcat interview of the week, and we will be right back with Harry, and we'll pick the games, including Wisconsin, Michigan State. Couch in the Roo, presented by Skymint Premium Cannabis.
Hopcat exists at the intersection of great beer and delicious food, complemented by music, art, community, and comfort. Home to a best-in-class beer experience served by craft beer experts. Guests can expect a casual, inviting local gathering place with some of the best damn burgers and fries you'll find in Michigan. Hopcat is proud to be an official sponsor of Peyton Thorne. Show your Spartan pride by ordering the iconic Peyton Thorne burger, created by the man himself. There is no better place to watch any Michigan State game other than the 50-yard line at Spartan Stadium. Stop by any of our locations: East Lansing, Detroit, Grand Rapids, Ann Arbor, Kalamazoo, and Holland. To plan your next trip to Hopcat, visit hopcat.com.
Firekeepers Online Casino and Sportsbook is the site to play. Get your Vegas on right now from your phone, tablet, or laptop. All the hottest slots and tables, plus sports betting featuring in-game wagering. Download the app at firekeeperscasino.com. Go with the name you know. Firekeepers. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and located in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call the Michigan Problem Gambling Helpline at 1-800-270-7117. Wherever you are on your cannabis journey, let Sky Mint Premium Cannabis be your guide, your friend, and your place. Whether you're curious about cannabis or a seasoned connoisseur, Sky Mint's knowledgeable staff will help you with a vast selection of products to choose from to fit your needs. Sky Mint believes access to the best cannabis helps people do good and feel good, so they grow it right here in Michigan, giving you high-quality, locally grown cannabis at highly accessible prices. Visit SkyMint.com for special offers and location information throughout Michigan, and use the promo code COUCHANDROOP20 for 20% off your first visit. Sky Mint Cannabis, you'll love this place.
Find our live stream, podcast archives, as well as show, affiliate, and sponsorship information at our website, SpotlightMediaStudios.com.
Couch in the Roo, presented by Sky Mint Premium Cannabis, and our Tuesday night show, brought to you by our friends at Cask & Company and Front 43. Cask & Company and Front 43, amazing MSU game day specials. Great place for a date night, happy hour. Anything you want, and I was just there on Monday night, had a fantastic meal in time with my co-ed rec league soccer team, which our next guest will appreciate. It is time now to pick the games.
He gambled on it, probably.
With our friend, pick the games presented by Firekeepers, iCasino, and Sportsbook with our friend Harry Gagnon from Against All Odds with Cousin Sal, Best Bet Corner, and ExtraPoints.com. Harry, traveling man, how are you? Where are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hope all is well. I am in just outside of Palm Springs in Indio, California, guys. Still a little toasty on, about to storm here. Just chilling, racing BMW series cars here. My buddy hooked it up. Had a great time today.
Sounds amazing. What a life, man.
Yeah.
Are you headed to Ann Arbor this weekend still?
I am heading to Ann Arbor. I'll be, like I said, going to Penn State. Michigan should be blast on Saturday, and then also on Friday. Why not? Well, when in Rome, might as well hit the hockey for Michigan too against Boston University on Friday.
Man, so if you want, you could drive up to East Lansing and watch the Michigan State UMass Lowell hockey game. That's where I've got to be Friday night.
Very nice.
Heavy action on that.
A lot of action. Actually,
a lot of Sky Mint, a lot of gambling.
Yeah, actually, I do have a book that allows you to bet college hockey. It's not it's an off-the-book book, but it's a book.
What do you say, Sparty minus 2.5?
No, I would. UMass Lowell is pretty good. I would not okay. jump on the Spartans on that one.
What bookie takes college hockey bets?
I don't know. The website. I have a website. The Firekeeper certainly doesn't. They're a little more. Yeah, they
blame them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't either.
Come on. I bet the Frozen Four every year.
Well, no shit. That's why we have you on the show. You're a degenerate. We love you.
All right.
Well, Harry, let's go through these games here this week. Let's do the college games first. And I actually have a can't miss parlay at the end. I want you to hear me out on, because I feel really good about it.
Okay, so
let's start this week with Alabama minus 7.5 at Tennessee. I know that Alabama is Alabama, and I know Bryce Young is probably back, but I've watched enough of both these teams this year, and Tennessee's been Tennessee. Like, I get the brand. I get why this line is what it is. That hook is plenty for me. I don't know that I even need 7 in a hook. I don't even know that I am all on the Vols here. I think this is going to be a very competitive game. Jason, where are you?
So we're sure Bryce Young's coming back, right, for this game?
I don't know for sure, okay. But they're hoping he's back.
Well,
Either way, let's
say that he is coming back. I got to say, this seems like a sucker bet to me because I've gone against the king before, Nick Saban. And I do like Tennessee plus the 7 in a hook. I'm going to take it, but maybe, Harry, you can talk me out of it.
No, look, guys, I'll tell you what. All season, before the season started, I'm all in on the Vols this year. I'm all in. I gave out Hendon Hooker at 45-1 before the season started for Heisman. He's down to like 10-1 now. He's done nothing wrong. He hasn't committed a turnover. This Tennessee offense is nonstop. They put up tons of points. They didn't even have the best receiver last week, and they still rolled LSU on the road. I don't love this Alabama offense, and defense is spotty at times too. I'm all in on Tennessee. I'm taking the points. I think it's too many, and I think they win the game.
All right.
Yeah, well, we're all on Tennessee. That makes me a little nervous, but when Harry's at, the one thing is, when he, me and you are on the same thing, it makes me nervous. When Harry comes in, it reassures me.
Sure.
All right, the game Harry's at, Penn State plus 7 at Michigan. Penn State, to me, is one of those teams that it's hard to bet as a favorite this year. They're going to struggle to run away from people. But as an underdog, I think they're good enough to be competitive, and I don't know that Michigan runs away from them. I think this line is right about right, so I wouldn't touch it either way. But I think it's a competitive game, so I'll take Penn State plus 7, but I'm not actually going to bet on it. Jason, where are you?
You know, if you could buy the half point down to 6.5, I really, really love Michigan, Harry, because Penn State last week against Northwestern, questions about their offense, and, oh, by the way, James Franklin. So I tell you what, give me Michigan minus 7. What do you got?
I'm going to be there, like you guys mentioned. I don't love it because I can make arguments about both sides. I think, yeah, Penn State 2 weeks ago didn't play good offensively, Jay, as you mentioned, only 17 at home against Northwestern, but then had the bye week last week, which maybe just they didn't really want to focus too much. I just want to get by Northwestern, have a week to get everyone ready and healthy for Ann Arbor, the trip to Ann Arbor. And I just think that the situation with Clifford, still a quarterback at Penn State who knows how to manage games, I think Michigan wins this game. I think this game, well, yeah, I don't blame you for buying it down to 6.5, Jay. I think you can buy it up to 7.5 with Penn State. Maybe Michigan wins this game by a touchdown, exactly 7. I'd buy it up to 7 with Penn State. I'm going to bank on Clifford and Franklin a little bit here on the road. I'm going to take Penn State.
All right, Minnesota minus 6.5 at Illinois. Wait, that can't be right. Did I write that wrong?
No, that's right. I looked because I thought you were wrong as well. I got it right here.
Jesus.
Minnesota minus 6.5.
Give me the Illini. Let me sprinkle it on the money line. Holy shit. I'm a little too excited. We gotta end the show now so I can bet this. I'm going to pull up the Firekeepers iCasino and Sportsbook app and bet this immediately. Look, Minnesota, Ibrahim may be back. They may be fine. Illinois' defense is averaging, giving up like 8 points a game. Give me the Illini here. I think this is a really good game. They're at home, too. I'm on the Illini. Jason, where are you?
I don't know. That was such a stinker last week against Iowa. I don't know if Illinois can bounce back. But, yeah, there's no way Minnesota should be giving points to the home team, Illinois. Give me Illinois plus a 6.5. Harry, talk us out of it.
Look, I mentioned this to you earlier in the week, Jay. Graham, last week when we went over that Iowa-Illinois game, I did mention that, boy, the hook is huge in this game. Give me the 3.5 in that game. It worked out nicely. This Illinois team over the last year and so far this year, they're a weird squad. But you know what I do like? I like them getting points at home. I just think they're a tough team. I'm like, you know, Minnesota, you don't know. Sometimes just when you think they're right there, they let you down. Ibrahim, the running back, has been banged up. I'm going to take Illinois.
Yeah, this line's almost too weird. Like somebody knows something. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. All right,
Vegas knows, man.
The game of most national interest. And by the way, last week's Wisconsin or Michigan State game, you start to figure out why all the hot takes are coming in on Michigan State. It was the second most watched college football game last week. So many people hadn't seen Michigan State yet. They hadn't realized the problems had already been there. Like, last week wasn't the story, but if you hadn't seen them yet, and that's your first time.
What did you need to see, though? You read about it, you see.
Well, a lot of people don't, though. You're just watching. It's a national TV game.
It's 1987, where you only get to 3 games a day.
Yeah, like, put rabbit ears up. ABC comes in. It's the game. All right, so Wisconsin, minus 7.5 at Michigan State. You know, I've been back and forth on this. I felt like Wisconsin's passing game couldn't hurt Michigan State to the degree some others have. And that Michigan State had a chance at home to stay in this one. This is such a huge game for MSU. But we just talked to a Wisconsin beat writer, and I just feel like Wisconsin's program talent-wise is in a better place. I've seen too much from MSU lately. They're going to have to prove it the other way. The hook scares me a little bit, but I would take Wisconsin. Jason, where are you?
Well, which Graham Mertz are we going to see? The one from the Illinois game, Harry, or the one from last week against Northwestern where he threw for 5 touchdowns? If it's going to be Graham Mertz, 5 touchdowns, Wisconsin rolls. So I think that's what's going to happen with that secondary for Michigan State. Give me Wisconsin. I hate the hook, but minus 7.5. What do you got?
Look, if there's ever been an anomaly in football, college football this season, is Graham Mertz throwing for 5 touchdowns in a game. You include that last year, too. You know what? And this Wisconsin team is not what we're normally seeing. They're down a bit this year. And I'm not saying Michigan State is, you know, gangbusters. Obviously, I took them in the season to go under 7.5 wins, and that's looking pretty good. But in a spot like this, with just Wisconsin not being the typical Wisconsin team we're used to, I'll take State in this game.
All right, so Jason's on State. Harry's on State.
No, I'm taking...
Oh, you're on Wisconsin. Sorry, I wrote
Wisconsin.
That wrong. All right. Yeah, no, I mean, Wisconsin's defense, I think, is vulnerable. The question is, can Michigan State take advantage of that? And I really don't know. This would be a complete stay away from me if I were in that realm betting this game. And I think my advice would be to take Wisconsin if for people who are looking for it. All right, the NFL games. No Lions this week. They can't lose. That's awesome. Commanders, Thursday night game, pick them against the Bears. This line may have moved to 1, but
they're telling you not to watch or gamble on it.
Yeah, the Thursday night games have been asked, which is good because Jason just complains when we can't get him on studio in the studio during the
fucking Amazon,
the Twitter question show. I hate Carson Wentz, and I don't know how to say that, you know, without being mean, but I fucking hate the guy, and I think the Bears are more appealing. So fuck it, I'm on the Bears.
Carson Wentz sounds like some gambling related hate there.
No, I don't like the guy. I just don't like a guy who's that bad who just sucks and people keep giving him opportunities. If you suck at your job that bad, people shouldn't keep hiring you. That's my issue. Jason, where are you on this?
I'm going to take the under 38. Do I have to pick this game actually? I like the under 38, Harry, but I guess for the sake of this pick'em thing, give me the Bears at home. What do you got?
How about a
flip a coin,
you know? I'm sorry for putting this on there. How about that? How about a 4-4 tie? Now that we're in the baseball playoffs, look, I don't know, guy. Like, yeah, listen, Graham, I hear you. I mean, but I'll tell you what, Ron Rivera, really, I kind of like Riverboat Ron, but I didn't like him throwing Wentz under the bus like he did or this past week, saying it's the quarterback's fault. I mean, they can't run the ball to save their lives. Their defense is off, like 27th overall. Is it all Carson Wentz's fault? I'm saying plenty of it is, but the first 2 weeks of the season, he had 7 touchdowns. I still think they pull it out, though, here. I know Justin Fields didn't play terrible against the Vikings, and he's got 2 games in a row where he hasn't thrown a pick. But I think Washington has a little bit more offense here, and I think maybe they get something going. This is a bad game, but I still think maybe Washington pulls this out by a field goal.
All right, Vikings -3 at the Dolphins. The Vikings season over is looking pretty good. This is an interesting game here. Obviously, the Dolphins at quarterback are down a little bit. So Vikings
down a little bit. Who do they have?
Right.
Skylar Thompson? I think that's a lot of bits.
Yeah, that's what makes this game interesting. So you get the Vikings going on the road to South Beach. Not sure how they're going to handle it. I mean, Kirk Cousins will be in his room at 9 p.m. That helps. But but everybody else, I don't know. But -3, the Heat in Miami. I tend to like the Vikings here. I just don't think I know the Dolphins have, you know, great receivers and talent elsewhere, but as long as it stays at 3, I'm inclined to take the Vikings here, even on the road. Where are you?
The Miami Heat, he says. He's thrown in the weather there. Listen, I mean, the Vikings screwed me over, only beating the Bears last week, Harry, by 7, so killed me on that hook. But I'm not going to spite bet this because I don't know. Skylar Thompson is going to be quarterbacking for the Dolphins, so give me the Vikings -3. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Vikings, too. Keep riding with my Vikes. Got basically a 2-game lead in the North now. Speaking of Florida, Dalvin Cook went to Florida State. Just feed him the ball, let him do most of the work. Don't know how many points Miami's going to be able to score, like you guys said, in this quarterback situation that all of a sudden is just is bad news for the Dolphins. I'm going to take the Vikings. I think they win this going away. I know they have tendency to not put teams away. I think this is a situation where they go on the road, take care of business, win this game going away by 17.
All right. Going away, too. Wow. Cowboys +5 at Eagles. I'm not sure if Dak's going to be back. I have not read anything on that. The Cowboys have been fantastic.
Who needs Dak? Am I right?
The Lansing boys doing all right. And last week was the pick of the year. Vegas, I mean, I don't know what Vegas was doing last week, but That was just so stupid I don't know how they saw Cowboys at home in L.A. as 5.5-point underdogs because the Rams don't have a single fan. But plus 5 at the Eagles, as good as the Cowboys' defense has been, and maybe they can make Hurts look bad, inside of a touchdown right now, give me the Eagles at home. And the Eagles, until they fall apart, I'm going with the Eagles. Jason, where are you?
Yeah, I think that number 5 is kind of a sucker bet on the Cowboys' side because, Harry, I like when Philadelphia plays at home. They had a little rough start against the Jags, but they came back and won that game. I like Philadelphia at home. The crowd is going to be crazy. So give me the Eagles and give them the 5 to the Cowboys. What do you got?
Yeah, you know what, guys? It's weird. Like, you mentioned that game against the Rams last week, Graham, and just didn't understand that line, 4.5, then went to 5.5, and the Rams still can't score, and Dallas' defense still is dominant. And I got to say that I think right now in the NFL, through 5 weeks, I think San Francisco has the best defense in the league. I think Dallas has the second best. Bills may be third. I took Philadelphia for the division, and I don't like Dallas at all. And I should probably ride with Jalen Hurts, who I gave out over 7.5 touchdowns for the season. He's got to break that before half the season's over. But guess what, guys? This Dallas defense just doesn't give up points. And I'm going to take Dallas with the 5. And maybe Philly wins this game by a field goal, but I think it's a close. It's a night game. I'm going to take Dallas with the points. And if I'm wrong, good.
All right. Last game, Broncos plus 5 at Chargers. And my disdain for Russell Wilson and his inauthenticism is
it's a tough word.
Tough word. I don't know if it's actually a word, but it's.
You could just set his ass.
Yeah, I'm just annoyed by the guy. I'm sick of him. He's not very good, and that's the problem. When you're annoying and you stop being good, then fuck off. And give me the Chargers. I think the Chargers getting a little bit healthier. I think the Broncos struggle to score. I think the Chargers can score on just about anybody. Jason, where are you?
Yeah, Nathaniel Hackett scares me to death, and I hate watching Russell Wilson, but it's kind of a fade game for me. But give me the Chargers and give them the points. What do you got here?
It's hard to take the Broncos here just because every single week we've seen them struggle beyond belief to put it in the end zone. The way they blew that Thursday game and then heading to playing the Chargers who can light it up when need to. Listen, Austin Eckler, all of a sudden, 2 weeks in a row, I think he's got 6 touchdowns in 2 weeks, taking some pressure off of Herbert to get the job done. I just think there's just too much offense here. And I know Denver's defense is decent, but I just think it's too much offense here still on the Chargers side. And I'm going to bank on Herbert right now, who's a much better quarterback playing on the field right now, much better quarterback than Russell Wilson.
All right. Harry, I've got a can't-miss 3-team parlay that I want to hear what you think of.
Okay.
Tennessee, plus 7.5, mm-hmm. hosting Alabama. I love that game. You could throw in, the in Illinois line's intriguing as well there. There's some other options. But along with 2 Premier League games, Man City on the road at Liverpool, minus 135. Liverpool's been nowhere near as good, and Man City gets the extra day of rest before that game by playing a Champions League game today with Liverpool playing Wednesday. So I like that as well, and I think Man City's a far better team right now than Liverpool. And then Chelsea, which also played today and looked pretty good, and they've looked pretty good of late under Graham Potter, minus 130 at Aston Villa, who's complete ass. That 3-team parlay, 100 pays 564. I like it a lot. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, I'm all in on this Tennessee Volunteers team this year. Quarterback wise, Heupel is their coach. Love the offense, scoring at will. And I'm not Alabama struggled last week to get the job done. They struggled a couple times. Whether Young comes back or not, even if he does, he might be a little rusty coming back into the situation in. And having to go to Knoxville, where that place is going to be an absolute zoo. I mean, it's just going to be crazy. I can't wait for that. A lot of times I don't say I can wait. I can't wait for that game because that's going to be great. And Tennessee's got to put the pedal to the metal and get it done. And you got 7.5, so definitely love that. when I woke up early on Sunday, 6:30 to watch the Giants-Packers, I also threw on the Liverpool match against Arsenal. And I will say this, Graham, Liverpool scored. I don't know if you were watching it yourself.
Yep.
Liverpool scored, that went to tie it up at 2-2. What a beautiful goal that was. They had all the momentum, and then they give up a goal in the 76th minute to Arsenal, blow that game, lose that one. Now got to play Man City, right?
Yep.
I don't know if they have anything left in the tank after playing after that Arsenal gave it all they had, so I like that one too. I think you got a winner here because the third one I'm not so sure about, but if you like it, I'm on it. I like the Sparlet.
I appreciate you, Harry. That's a beautiful thing. The other thing, I wanted to tell you about, Harry, is Jason today looks yoked, man. Like, I'm telling you, he walked in the studio and I said, have you been lifting? Like, holy crap. And apparently it's just the T-shirt. We got to get on this line of T-shirts he's got
Skyman,
or whatever it is.
And the Skyman as well.
The Skyman's helping. But, yeah, I don't know why I brought that up now. But
yeah,
I wanted
to make it awkward at
I wanted
the end
to
here.
leave you with that image. So, yeah, there's that. Well, Harry, I know you had a busy night, and safe travels to our beautiful state, and hope you enjoy the mitten.
Thanks, Harry.
Thanks, guys. And hey, listen, if you guys are around on Friday, Saturday, hit me up. I'll be around.
All right, we may try to make something work.
Okay, keep me in touch, guys.
That's the great Harry Gagnon from Against All Odds with Cousins Hell, Best Bet Corner, and ExtraPoints.com.
Hey, by the way, Harry, Jason's looking extra cute tonight.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. We'll fix it.
Thanks
in post.
For joining us.
Yeah, Jesus, it's awkward. Well, another reason for Skyman, you know, takes the awkward out of life. Skyman's got some good stuff going on, too. And free delivery now in the greater Kalamazoo area, Metro Detroit, Grand Rapids, Ottawa County, Lansing, Ann Arbor, and Battle Creek. Skyman will deliver. Go to Skyman.com. Place your order today. We appreciate Hopcat, of course, and our friends at Front 43 and Cask & Company. If you're looking for a place to safely watch the MSU game and not have to be in the crowd, Mel Tucker's giving you permission. Just go to Cask & Company and Front 43. Good show, man.
Yeah, man.
Couch in the Room.